Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Masters of Marketing. In this episode, I have with me John. He's the founder of HOP, a digital marketing agency or a marketing agency here in Dubai, with an office in Saudi Arabia and an office in Colombo. He started his business 4 years ago and he grew it to over 40 people. So obviously he's doing something right. And in this episode, I'm asking him questions about how did he start the business, why he started it, how does he market it, how does he keep clients happy, keep costs low, and so much more. Tune in and enjoy the show. John, welcome to Masters of Marketing.
Thank you very much, Bassem. Awesome. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, man.
Doing a podcast with you.
Yes.
Exciting.
Of course. I'm gonna ask you some interesting questions, man. Because you see, like, I get asked as well, like, how did you start? How do you market your business?
Yeah.
You know, how do you do it? Do you focus on cost per acquisition? Do you focus on customer lifetime value? And winning new clients is very difficult. And in our space, the agency world, you know, we go through rounds of pitches and RFPs, and, you know, it's difficult to win clients, to win new clients.
Yeah, it is.
So,
and it's good to get the questions, because sometimes when you get asked these questions, I at least feel that, you know, what the hell am I doing? Like, it feels like everyone is so structured and planned out, and they have plans 3 months, 6 months, 12 years ahead of them. And sometimes it feels like you're just trying to wing it.
Yeah.
So it's good to put your head around it by being asked the difficult questions, I guess.
Absolutely. Home of performance.
Yeah. HOP. HOP. A lot of people think it's house of performance. I usually don't correct them. I just say, yeah, sure. So it's home of performance.
Home of performance. What did I say?
You said home of performance. Okay. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So what is HOP? What is home of performance as an agency? What do you guys do?
So we offer services within three main pillars. So it's marketing services, your traditional digital agency service, that's SEO, social media management, performance marketing. We do strategy services and data science services. And today, I would say probably 70% of our business is still in this kind of marketing pillar.
Yeah.
Which always been kind of like the traditional way of offering services as an agency. You have a retainer, you have a scope of work. But we've been trying pretty hard the last 6-9 months to kind of pivot away from that into more strategic and data science services. Just because I think it's required to stay relevant. Maybe not today, but in 12, 24 months.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And we work with brands in predominantly here in Dubai, UAE, Saudi, so this region. And we have an office here in Dubai. We have an office in Riyadh, and we have an office in Colombo. Office in Riyadh, it's one person right now, so it's not a big office. So most of our team is here in Dubai and in Colombo.
And the back office, like tech guys are in Colombo.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not just tech. So we have paid team there. We have a lot of copywriters. We have developers, designers. But we also have people in those team here in Dubai. So it's a mix. And we also have remote resources in Lebanon and South Africa. So it's a mix of everything.
Yeah.
Which has been great, because it's enabled us to scale when needed in a cost-efficient way.
Makes sense. And you founded the business, you founded HOP.
Yeah.
And you are the only partner or the only the only owner?
It's my business. I started it. I think it can be great to have partners. But for me, it's been great to do this at some point by myself, because it forced you to take decisions. You learn a lot. You have like the knife against your throat at all times.
So. Yeah.
But I see the benefit of having partners and have someone to share that burden with. But yeah.
Good. When did you start HOP?
HOP. We started it in September 2019.
Okay.
So just like 6 months before COVID, I did my last day at my previous job. I think it was the last of August, and the 1st of September, I moved into my new office, which was like, you know, 200 square feet in Business Bay, one of these business centers. Yeah, so 4 years ago, last week.
Nice, man. And you grew quite fast, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to know or say that it's fast or not fast because I don't have anything really to compare with.
Yeah.
I think we were very lucky in the beginning because moving up, and you've done that journey yourself when you're starting a business, especially if you do it for the first time. You go through a lot of emotions until that point when you take that decision that you're going to start a business. At least I did. Like, are you going to be able to find clients? How are you going to pay your staff? Are you going to, you know, all these questions. And you start, I started doubting yourself if you are equipped to do this. So my expectations when I started the business was very low. Like, I like to set low expectations so I can not just reach them, but slam them. So I was like, I went into it with a very much like, okay, let's do the best out of it. If I survive 1 year in business, you know, I'm happy. And I didn't have any ambition. Like, I want to build this big agency. It was more, I knew I wanted to have my own business. I always had that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
I've always worked in agencies, so that's the realm I know. So that was the easy choice. But I think the objective from the beginning was to have a small agency, few brands, clients, and kind of like, I just had my first kid at that time as well, so I wanted to work less. But then when you start and you start doing pitches and you start getting the first client and you get the second client, it's this urge that comes into you, like you get this motivation that is fueled by the wins you get.
Yeah.
So we were just lucky to land a few key accounts early on, and I was very lucky to find good partners very early that could help us grow, because you can't do anything by yourself, or it's you can't do that much anyways.
Yeah.
And then I think COVID came, and that probably played pretty well for us in terms of business growth, because obviously we didn't have an overhead. We were like five people at that time in a small office, and a lot of businesses went digital. So for us, that kind of fueled that growth, and then it just kept growing. So I think we've done like 50% year on year the last 4 years in terms of growth. And
good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's see.
How many people are you now?
I think we're 32 full-time employees and 8 full-time, let's say, freelancers, or that's not employed by our business, but contract workers. Yeah.
How did you start marketing your agency? How did you start getting the first few clients in?
So that's a good question, right? So in the beginning, we didn't have any clients, so we had a lot of time. So we were writing blogs as crazy. Like, we were publishing blogs every day. So our SEO was always a very high priority, still is today. Like, we have full-time resources just working internally on our SEO. But obviously that didn't give leads initially because we had to build that up. So emails, trying to build database as quickly as possible. Like anything you can do that didn't cost, you didn't have money, right? So we ran some paid campaigns, some search ads to get inquiries, going through your network. That's where you start, right? In any business, you need to talk to your friends, your family, you talk to people you worked with before. And just being out there, you cold call, you take up the phone and go through your contact list, and you call for referrals.
Exactly.
Because the thing in the beginning is that you don't need much. Like, it's you don't need this scalable strategy in the beginning.
Right.
You need one client.
Yeah.
If you get that one client and you excel with them and you build a good rapport with them and you perform with them, that client will give you another client.
Yeah.
Then you can take obviously the profit from this and reinvest it in hiring people or doing more marketing efforts. So that's how we start. And then we always been very active on our own, let's say, lead gen efforts, but more on the kind of branding awareness element rather than end of the funnel campaigns. Because it doesn't really work that efficiently, at least not for us in terms of the services we sell. So we started with award submissions early on. So I think even in our first year, we got a win at the MENA Search Awards, which helped us a lot. And then we continued investing a lot in these kind of PR brand building activities. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to trust, right? If anyone's going to work with you or not. But in the beginning, it was just everything we could do that didn't cost too much money. And I have a lot of experience in sales and sales of digital services, which helped us. So I didn't need to find someone else to do it for us. I've always been very involved in our business development and still is today. So we don't have a sales team. It's basically me meeting clients and trying to see if there's ways we can help them digitally.
Right. So you started first with your network.
Yeah.
And then you've done some emails.
Yeah, lots of emails. Like we did the drip campaigns. We did the LinkedIn outreach. Cold calls, check for referrals, create a lot of content, tons of content. Be very, very active on LinkedIn, pushing the content. We did search campaigns, so Google Ads as well. And we started.
That's all at the beginning.
Yeah, so we do run some paid search today, but very less. That paid ads has never been part of our own lead gen efforts. And if I look at our lead count on a monthly that we get on a monthly basis, what comes or derives from paid media is a very small amount. And if I look at what actually converts into business, it's an even smaller amount.
Yeah, you're right. Same with us.
Because you would in general, like you can definitely find quality in paid search for services. But if you're offering a premium service at a higher price than someone else, it's difficult. Because most people that will go out to Google and search for a service, that intent is usually driven by procurement or someone that is stingy on the pricing point. And it's difficult to kind of convince them or explain to them why they should pay a premium to work with us.
So how do you do it now?
In terms of marketing or lead generation?
So how do you market your business now?
Okay, so many of the tactics that we started off with, we still do today in terms of building our database, communicating with them through newsletters. We do a lot of content to drive traffic. We do a lot of award submissions. So I think we have like 4 or 5 different awards we work continuously with throughout the year. We started doing stuff like this, podcasts. We do events, external and internal. So with external means Seamless, like we met at Seamless.
Yeah.
We have a booth, we meet people. We did that 2 weeks back in Riyadh. It was a great event. We host our own like breakfast seminars.
Yeah.
So we book a hotel, we invite people in our database, we do some ads and we set up a theme, we invite. So usually what we've done so far is we have one of our team members having one part of the seminar. Then we invite usually a client to bring in their perspective. So a lot of events, we're going to do more of that as well. I think that's very powerful.
Very powerful. I used to do it pre-COVID and then I stopped it and then started doing webinars. But I know that these seminars, these events are very, very powerful indeed.
Yeah. So that's a very important part of it as well. We're very active on social media, which like it's difficult to say exactly what gives what because there's so many touch points, right? But what I can see is that what we're doing is working in the sense that we get more and more traffic to the website. We get more leads from the website, from all different sources, and we have more conversations. And all of this kind of builds up. It gets easier, right? Because the longer you've been in the game, the more people know of you. So you kind of come over that trust hurdle easier. And you have your case studies. You have your references.
Correct. So makes sense. What would you say is the best way to acquire new clients for you and for agency? Like the best way?
So I'm not sure if it's the best, but the absolute preferred way is through references. Meaning that you work with a brand and they recommend you to someone else. I would say that's the most efficient way because the trust is already established most of the times.
How do you do it?
Ask your... First, obviously, make sure you deliver a good value to your clients, right? That's the... first step in any kind of reference mission. You need to drive value. Like if I give you value, if I just focus on that, like give you value in any time I see you, in regardless if it's privately or business-wise, you will give value back eventually. So I think that's step number one. But obviously being able to ask as well at the right time would help. I mean, we've created a lot of ambassadors within our partners or clients that gives, and probably the same for you, right? Those are the best clients because they won't come in and start negotiating on the price directly. They won't question everything because they trust you already.
Correct.
So that I would say is
that's a hot lead.
That's a hot lead. That's number one. Number two, definitely building up the brand equity of your agency is vital. Again, that trust comes in.
How do you build the brand equity?
Awards is a good example. In our industry, events is another one. Being very visible. You want people to look at your agency and feel, wow, they're really buzzing. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it gives the perception that you must be very successful.
Correct.
And if you're successful, why you must be good? Because otherwise, why would you be? And all of this is obviously a perception. It doesn't always need to be true, but it helps. And then you start creating this inbound flow of leads that wants to work with Igloo or wants to work with Hope because they heard so much good things about you.
You're right.
And then obviously you have your old employees. You have a lot of people that worked in your agency, but they left the agency because they got hired from the client, which happened us multiple times, or they move on into their career because they get a better offer.
Yeah.
Make sure you always take care of that part of business very professionally, leaving old colleagues in a good way. Keeping those relationships intact because they might sit on the other side of the table in the future.
Makes sense. Yeah, good point. What does it take to win clients, you think? Other than the trust, other than the awards and other than case studies and, or maybe like these are like top ones, but yeah,
I mean, awards, like awards might impact early on, but once you sit there in the meeting with the clients, you instantly need to, or the prospect, you need to connect with people. You need to make them like you. It's very difficult to get the business with someone that dislikes you. So being a people person helps. Being able to connect and understand and read between the lines is very vital. Having experience enough to understand people's situation and what they really want is key. Meaning that you might come in as a client or prospect saying, okay, we want this, but then being able to ask the questions to actually understand what is the main objective and instilling confidence in that we know the solution to this. So we understand your problem. I understand it's hard. Let me show you the way out of this. Instilling that confidence will make price less important and the solution more important, I believe. And it's the same whatever service or product you're selling.
Right.
And for some people, this comes easier. For some people, it comes more difficult. But that's the essence of sales, I believe.
Absolutely. So number one is put people in the front, these salespeople that are likable.
Yeah.
Right? That they like... What do you want to say?
No, but it's like, okay, yes, likable, but it's that's simplifying it. Mm. Likable and knowledgeable, like it's this perfect like person that doesn't exist, right? That knows something about everything and is very likable at the same point. But it's that's where experience comes in.
Yeah.
Because you can have people that are very likable, but they don't know anything about digital.
Correct.
And I mean, how many times do you see that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that's the main reason why we win clients, because we come to the table, they had 3-4 meetings before where people got sent to the meeting that didn't know what they were talking about.
Correct.
And for them to sit with someone that has both the skill set, or at least from their perception and the likability, that's a win. But I think people do it, many agencies, not everyone, a lot of agencies does it really professionally. But they might sometimes put two junior people in that position.
Right.
Because as a brand, you want to talk to an expert. You want to talk to someone that actually, you know what they're talking about.
Right. You're right. And that's what we've done as well. We've tested it. We hired, at one point, we hired 5 salespeople at the same time.
You sold less.
And that was just a waste of time. And
yeah, yeah. And even if they sell, because, you know, usually they have the drive, they have the ambition, but, you know, usually the sales that comes through, you know, it's no objectives, you know, over promises, bad pricing. But that's the challenge, right? How do you scale a business without having a sales team? It's close to impossible.
Yeah. So you hire experts. So what I say, you don't need salespeople. You need specialists that are extroverts, that they like people, they like to go, and that's it.
Yeah.
No, like you just said, and we're saying the same thing. Like
I agree. It's, it's more like a consultant, consultative approach that works.
Yeah.
And then obviously you can have a more junior staff helping out with discovery calls or, or these activities. But even like the discovery call, like the first interaction that you have with a prospect is so vital and so important because it's the first time they speak to your agency.
Yeah.
And what is said in that 30-second, 2-minute call, I think if they get a good impression, like it's almost done.
We have someone like this, so a professional, but not an expert, not a top, like a senior expert, but they qualify the leads.
Yeah, so they the first point of contact.
Well, just to make sure that this is actually a genuine lead with a genuine request.
Yeah.
And then they pass it on to someone more senior.
Yeah.
Like me or my partner, usually us, the partners we handle this.
Yeah. Which makes sense. And we have the same setup, right? We have, because we have, and we have two, because we have one for Saudi, one for UAE, and then we have workflows to trickle down those leads depending on where they want to help. Like honestly, when I did everything myself, it was probably a better close rate, but it's not scalable. Like it, you can't just do everything yourself, and you need to let go of things for the better of the future growth of your agency.
100%. Do you have a marketing budget?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you split your marketing between brand and performance?
So yes, I would say probably 95% into brand. So we actually have a marketing manager. Like we have a full-time person that only work with our marketing, doesn't interact with clients, which is pretty unusual at our size. So she's great. So she is, you know, taking care of all of our events, all award submissions, doing all of our branding, all our communication, our PR, everything. And she used to be in the performance team. And then she, when she got pregnant, and we saw the opportunity of this marketing role.
Yeah.
And it worked really well, to be honest, to have this 100%. Dedicated person to just work on it. Because otherwise, you know how it is. You have so many ideas. I want to do this. I want to do polls and surveys and white papers. But it's just up in your head.
And make sure that the blogs are there. And then make sure that the ads are running. She is with you here or is she remote?
So she's here in Dubai.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's needed to have someone here like with you? Or it's okay to have a remote person?
No, both. It's fine. Like we do have remote assets.
Like a marketing manager.
So
like
the marketing manager, it would be slightly difficult because we do a lot of events here locally in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
And she just happened to be here and she was already employed by us. That's why we have her here. Anything is possible. Like the proximity, I believe, is a power and a benefit.
Yeah.
So remote work can work better in some situations than others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are already today, like we're in office 3 days a week, so everyone is kind of working remotely almost 40% of the time anyways. But it depends on what kind of marketing activities you're doing, I guess. But of course, you can work with an outsourced partner or someone that sits somewhere else. But I like the kind of brainstorming part of marketing where you just sit like we're sitting right now and we start talking about what should we do for the podcast and who should we invite and let's call him up now. And you can do all of this remotely, but it takes so much longer time.
Yeah, you're right.
So the action happens much faster when we have the person here in Dubai.
Good.
What about you? Do you have, I mean, you do your marketing, I guess.
Yeah, and I have a support remote.
Yeah.
And I definitely see the value of having someone here. But if I want to have someone here, I want to have someone senior.
Yeah.
And that senior is someone that I wouldn't afford or wouldn't want to spend for now.
Maybe in the future. So I think in general, like Dubai is expensive as it is. So depending on what setup you have, I think it's a wise idea to, as much as you can, focus your hires in Dubai on senior people. Because that's what you can leverage the most anyways. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because most other duties, it doesn't really matter if they're based here or in Lebanon or in US or wherever they might be, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So us, how we've done it, we have the front facing here. So the social media managers that go meet clients and the account managers, account director, they're all here. We have a senior web guy that is here as well that meets clients. But the back office is, between India, East Europe, Lebanon, Egypt. We have some copywriters in the UK. We have, of course, the office in the States. So we have a couple of people there. So we try to keep the front facing here. So these are like the more senior people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to keep costs low, like we hire people in Lebanon that are, or in Egypt, fraction of what we pay here. And these are senior people, you know, A players.
It is. And I think any business benefit from that model. But there are challenges with it as well. At least that's my experience.
Yeah, same with us, man, of course.
So what we've tried to do is, that's why we have an office in Sri Lanka, not just people sitting home, because then we can have a country head, we can have some senior staff as well, we can travel back and forth. So it's always a challenge, because obviously you want to grow your team, but you need to be mindful of the costs as well. Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads us to the question, how do you keep costs low while delivering high quality work?
Yeah, so that's very difficult, because the better we have delivered, the higher our costs have gone. So there's always this correlation, right? The more you invest in the service delivery, the better the output will be. So the most important action is to make sure you charge enough for your services to actually deliver that value. But then when you look at how can we optimize that flow to get the maximum value for the minimum investment, that's when you look at outsourcing or having offices in countries with lower wages. You look at your systems, like what internal systems do you work with to communicate? How do you ensure that briefings on creatives are done correct? How do you communicate with your clients or partners? How do you, simple things, how do you store everything you do about your brands or about your clients internally? Is it easy to find? Is it a structure? That is very vital in order to having that structure, because that helps the teams work in between them. Another key element is transparency, I believe. Transparency in the sense that since we work cross-team functional, like we have the SEO team, we have the social team, many times, as probably you do as well, you have integrated services. We have a client buying multiple services. We need to create enough transparency so everyone can see at any given time what everyone is working on for the first time and be able to access and find this this information quickly. But it's very difficult. And I think that from the beginning until always, we will always look for ways to deliver better. So I felt the bigger we become and, you know, the more profitable we're becoming and the more people we have, the more clients we get, and you have this growth and you should feel, wow, great. But I always have this pressure inside. We're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing enough for our clients. When a client leaves, or, you know, you get a termination of a contract, you know, that happens to everyone. The feeling I get is not about the loss of revenue. The feeling, honestly, I get is, what could we have done differently to show them or give them value? And I think that's the key point you need to, culture or part you need to instill in everyone in the business, right? It's not the business we should focus on. It's the value, to always create that value. So I think we will never be happy with the output we have. But yeah, there's definitely ways to make sure you're efficient or you work on get the most out of your team as possible.
Yeah, man.
You lose clients sometimes?
No.
Never. there's an episode of have you seen
Mad?
We
lose. Yeah. We don't let them go. Yeah.
We don't reply to emails. So have you seen Mad Men, the series?
No.
Okay, it's really cool. It's about an ad agency in Madison Avenue, New York in the 50s and 60s. And the guy who the series is about, Don Draper, is a creative director at this agency. Smokes, drinks in the office, but he's a maverick, right? But a really cool guy. And he has a really famous quote in I think the first episode, which is, you know, the day you start signing clients is the day you start losing clients. Mm. And I think it's very important in an agency business that definitely when you lose or miss out on anything, try to understand what we can do differently in the beginning, but never try to pass blame, because we should never try to create an environment where people are afraid of losing.
Yeah.
Right? It's fine. Like, we move on. What can we learn? How can we do it better? Because at the end of the day, clients will always come and go.
Yeah.
But the team you have, at least at that moment, need to feel that 100% support from the leadership in what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's okay as well to lose clients, because some clients you cannot really help them. There are some brands that, you know, don't work. There are some products that don't work. There are sometimes clients, yeah, they don't want to do the things that you tell them. There are so many factors why many businesses or most businesses fail today. So it's okay, you as a marketing agency, to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sometimes it's your
exactly. Yeah. Sometimes we can blame ourselves, and then we should try to rectify that. Sometimes it's out of your hands. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just part of the game, right? You need to be able to handle that in a good way. And, you know, go home at night and, you know, mute your phone and don't think about work until the next day.
Absolutely. How do you increase your customer lifetime journey? Customer lifetime value.
Okay, so retention, like, how do we keep our clients stay longer and pay more? So it's a good question. So we try to make them stay longer by setting up processes. I'll give you an example. So what we did this year is implemented like this onboarding program for new clients. So we have a project set up in Asana, which is the tool we work with, of deliverables, actions, communications, everything that needs to go out for we call it the first month sprint, like the first 30 days of a new client. And then that extends to a 3-month kind of onboarding. Because I read somewhere that the first 3 months of any kind of business relationships is the most critical one. So we work extensively trying to map out that journey to understand what we need to do perfectly to increase our chances of, let's say, a happy onboarding or a happy client expectations delivery. That's one part that we work a lot with. We upsell or cross-sell our services. That's one way to increase the lifetime value. So how can we increase our monthly retainer with that client? So maybe we work with SEO today, but they don't do any email marketing. How can we help them start doing that? Or how can we add on paid services or social media? We work with projects to sell projects. So maybe we are doing social media management for Bassem today, but we really recommend you to have a shoot with us, a full day shoot, which might be on project basis. So trying to upsell, cross-sell to increase the value here and now. And then the retention strategy is working on the account management, working on the client communication, setting expectations, working on professional reporting, dashboards, and building relationships. So taking your clients out for dinners, inviting them to events is critical. Like, it might seem like a very old way of doing it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you would prefer not to break up with someone you like, right?
Yeah.
And also, if you have that relationship at the end of the day, you would probably come to me before you would terminate the contract and say, hey, John, I feel we're going in the wrong direction. I'm not getting what I'm expected to get. It's late. I'm not happy with the performance. I want you to step in and take care of that. Like when that happens, that's a sign that you have a good relationship with that client.
Absolutely.
And you should salute that and thank them for coming to you with that. So I think that's another
good points, man.
Important aspect of it. But you can do all of this and still lose clients. So it's,
yeah.
It's a, you just but try
you,
your best. Yeah,
you try to mitigate the risk, or you not even mitigate, you try to reduce the risk by doing these right things.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you need to have some process. We didn't have any processes. Like I'm really bad with processes. I'm not a really structured person. But we have a Warren in our team who came in in January, who is a very kind of process-oriented, intelligent thinking person. He's like everything I'm not. And he came in as strategy director, has definitely kind of changed the entire outlook of our agency. Yeah, he has done a big, big, big difference in terms of these elements. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, you know, we have meetings and I'm sitting like, I don't understand what they're talking about. But it's, I guess that's a good thing, right? You want to be the most stupid person in the room. And that's usually what I feel in the internal meetings. I just make like bad jokes and
yeah.
And everyone like, let's laugh. It's John, it's his business. So it's
yeah. Good one. Do you personally invest in personal branding? And if yes, do you see benefits? Do you recommend it?
No, I don't. But you would have the odd kind of post on social media, on LinkedIn, that I would do maybe once every 3 months. And that's always when I've done that. Usually it would be geared towards lifting up colleague, something like that, which I think is a great way for personal branding, obviously, to be empathetic and giving value rather than trying to get it yourself. I'm so great, I'm so good, you know, we're doing all of these great things. I've done that as well. But no, I don't. I don't like to be in the center in that sense. Like we do a lot of speaking opportunities at events. I always, like Warren is always the person that does this. Like when we have seminars, it's always Warren or someone else in the team, because I don't feel I have enough value to add to the conversation. So that might be my self-esteem that's not good enough. And I wouldn't be comfortable in doing personal branding on, let's say, LinkedIn, etc. But if it works, 100% it works. I think it's one of the most effective tactics to use, because you get visibility. It's about impressions, right? If enough people see you over and over again, eventually they will feel we're friends. Like we met, twice in some event, but even before I met you the first time, I know Bassem because, you know, we're friends from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I know you from LinkedIn. I've seen you on LinkedIn for the last 5 years. And a potential client probably had the same, feels the same thing, right?
100%.
So it's a way of scaling your relationship with people without actually knowing them.
Yeah.
So I know it works. Like that's why you see it done very effectively. Some does do it better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just what I would focus on if I did it is trying to always talk about creating value or creating value in any, like you do. You usually talk about different ways of giving people tips and insights, how they can be more efficient in their marketing, which is great, right? Because a lot of people would resonate well with that. And they feel like Bassem is giving me all of this value. He's giving me this free advice. So that means when they actually need your help, they would just call you directly probably.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel it? I mean, has it been working well for you?
100%.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, man. I like it.
Do people like stop you on the street like, hey, you're Bassem?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
So you got your
like at restaurants, bars, clubs, really? Elevators. Yeah.
All right. Bars.
But yeah. I mean,
what kind of bars is that?
Can't tell you. Not here, not live. No, but when I'm out, like people do, that's you.
Can we get a picture?
Yeah. That's not what they do.
Yeah.
What are your hobbies, John?
So I'm right now because my hobbies is actually more important than my work. Maybe not for the purpose of this podcast. Right now, I'm into my longevity journey. So I'm very into health,
really?
Fitness, any kind of supplements I can take orally or through IVs. I do a lot of that, yeah. A lot of crazy stuff that probably no one else would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it started when I had kids. Like you realize you want to stay strong for them. And my daughter sees me, she's four and a half now, and she always sees me leave early in the morning. So she's like, what about that? Why do you leave early in the morning? You're always off like 5:30, 6. I need to go to the gym. She's like, why do you need to go to the gym? So I can, you know, so I can stay strong when you get older. Yeah. So I can keep playing with you. And she said, Daddy, always go to the gym. Never stop training. Nice. So so I think that. And I'm trying to instill that in our business now. So we started with a lot of, like, you know, workout during working hours. We give subsidized for gym memberships. We had a 4-year anniversary last week. We went to one of these studio fitness classes. People were running, you know, half the team almost died, but but it was good to show them that that side of the world as well.
Yeah. So these are your hobbies?
Yeah. I used to drink a lot, but I stopped doing that.
You stopped drinking?
No, I know, definitely not, but as much as I did before.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing about Dubai. Like, it's not the same thing. In Europe, at least, like, that's how you socialize.
How old are your kids?
My daughter is turning 5 in November, and my son is one year and 1.5.
So give it a few more years, you're going to be drinking.
Yeah, they're going to be drinking again. Yeah. When she turns
that's what happened to me.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be drinking, like, stop working out, killing me.
Yeah, like,
I'm done.
The first few years, you're like, I'm tired, I need to sleep. And then after they're grown, that's it. They wake up alone, they do their thing in the morning, and then you can, you know, pass out until on weekends. You can pass out a lot longer.
Yeah, maybe I'll take that up.
Good stuff. Good having you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, and I honestly, it's good that you were open and honest, because a lot of people don't want to share such information because they, you know, they feel that the competition might copy it or take the ideas.
Yeah, because of everything we do is so special, no one else does.
No, but
it like
I think
us.
Listen, because you do it differently than I do.
Yeah.
Right. So you get your leads differently than I do as an agency. And it's very good that you open about it and you share it how it is. And yeah, man, I think it's a lot of added value.
Try it out, see if it works. Maybe what? I'll do, I mean, the things we do that you don't do. Yeah. Maybe I should do more personal branding stuff like you do.
Exactly. At the end of the day, so I've made a video the other day. I met an agency guy, and the way that he gets his business is completely different from other agency people that I know.
So how does he do it?
So like him, he does only strategic partnerships. So he partners with other agencies.
Mm. So he becomes like their outsourced partner.
Or like if they do services that he doesn't do. Mm. So he's basically building relationships with agencies all the time. And can you imagine how that works? So basically he's calling these agency guys, going for lunches with them, going for dinners with them. Just like you build a relationship with your clients, he does it with agencies. And he only gets his business from there. Never run ads, doesn't have social media pages, his website is crap. And that's how he's done it. And I know some other agencies where they do only Google ads, for example, right? Or some agencies where they do only inbound marketing. So they run a lot of webinars, they run a lot, like your previous agency, for example, the Jaya or whatever.
Yeah.
They do a lot of webinars, or they used to do, I don't know now. So many agencies do it through inbound marketing. A lot of them do it through outbound. They pick up the phone, they do LinkedIn automation or LinkedIn messages, etc. So it's great perspective. And obviously you're doing something right.
Right? Yeah, I think there's not a right or wrong way, right? It's just your way and making it effective.
Yeah.
I mean, like, cold calling could work as well as Google Ads or doing events or PR. And no one can sit and say, this is the only way to do it. Whatever you do, do it to perfection. Mm. Do it as well as you possibly can. If you have an event, make sure the content is good.
Yeah.
If you run Google Ads, make sure that the funnel works perfectly and that the person calling to qualify is capable enough to handle that.
Absolutely.
But we try to do a bit of everything, I think. And that's just to make sure we're not doing it wrong. I just do a bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, us as well. Like us, in a way, like we decide what, you know, what works for us, what we like to do as well.
So what's the end goal for you with your agency? Do you have one?
Well, initially it was an exit, and now not an exit. It's a profitable business that we're growing. We just started the US office a year and a half ago, so we're growing there. Just make it bigger.
Yeah.
And profitable. We like it. We all like it. We're 5 partners in the business. It makes sense. And we're doing other things as well. So we invest in our own, websites. We drive traffic to them. So not only the agency.
Yeah,
so we build products around it as well. So yeah, man, it's, yeah. And I told you what I do as well. I have a couple of other things as well.
Yeah.
So All right, man. We gotta close it. Thanks for coming. We continue. Yeah, we do it over a beer.
We'll go for a drink. Thank you so much, Basil.
All right, man. Pleasure. Thank you.
Likewise.
All right.